hear a booze bottle.
That means it's about time for a podcast. Greetings, Apple Posse, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apple Posse Podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And yet, I always forget. Am I supposed to, like, say and guest, or am I just supposed to say my name, or do I wait?
And guest.
Jax.
Hi, honey.
Overstepping your bounds.
Me?
Yeah.
Look, it's just because I have long legs, okay?
Sure, that's what
I have
we'll
one job on this podcast, and I do it badly.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey.
Yes?
Just because nobody gave me a job description doesn't mean that I'm doing it wrong my fault.
I was talking about myself. I was.
Yeah, James does not do a good job. Yep. Even though he also doesn't know what he's doing here.
Correct.
How many years has he been on this podcast?
I stopped counting.
At least one.
That's a good idea.
Anyway, what are you drinking?
James made our drink. What are we drinking?
We're drinking the same thing.
What is that?
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's that kind of episode, huh?
Minneapolis Cider Co. Mango Habanero with a little bit of Keeper's Heart, Irish and American whiskey. To make something jump up. Yep.
Go on.
Find out if it's tasty.
We'll say jump up.
I know Shaughnessy jump up.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoa.
What about you, Salsa? What are you drinking?
I have a cup of tea with a bit of rum in it.
Ooh. Sounds delicious.
Yeah. So, is that a hot toddy or is that something else? Because a hot toddy is brandy, right?
Toddy adjacent.
Yeah.
Toddy adjacent. Hot taddy, if you will.
No, just toddy adjacent. I don't know exactly what the definition of toddy is, like, legally.
Oh,
but
scientifically.
I don't know if we do anything legal here, but okay.
Because this has tea in it instead of just hot water, and there's no lemon. And I think there's a liqueur, like a brandy or a fortified something, rather than a rum in a toddy.
Yeah. Well, it is usually a brandy,
rum,
but a hot toddy with rum is a rum hot toddy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that there's a bartending school somewhere that's specific about that sort of thing, but I don't know. Like,
right.
Is using tea a hot toddy, or does it just regular water, hot water, or like, does it have to have lemon in it?
The world may never know.
I would say lemon is absolutely a requirement. Unless you are allergic to lemon.
That'd be unfortunate.
Well, such things have been known to happen. You're talking to someone who's allergic to apples.
Who?
Salsa's allergic to apples.
So according to Wikipedia, which is, of course, the repository of all truth, it is a whiskey, hot water, and honey. That is like
the really? That's it?
That is the base of a hot toddy. It is typically it varies. Some use lemon and spices and various other things, but the base of a toddy is whiskey, hot water, and honey.
Mm-hmm.
So
gotcha.
And I have some honey liqueur here from Badlands Distillery.
Oh my god.
In there.
That honey liqueur is absolutely fantastic.
So. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I've got rocking on here, so.
Sounds anyway, great.
So what y'all been up to?
Over the last several weeks? My show opened.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like just to set listener expectations here, by the way,
Fringe just opened.
We're going to withhold a little bit on my whole spoiler alert trip to Scotland. until Jenna gets back. So we will focus more heavily on this episode to James's Fringe show.
Ooh.
And, yeah.
And so, Jax's upcoming nice. Stuff.
So my trip, yes, we will talk about it at some point, but we're holding off until Jenna is around. So I'm sorry for the interruption, but I just wanted to make that clear. Yes, that's why I said it.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
So, Fringe show opened. I think opening night was completely fantastic. I would say, like, we had the usual little hiccups of people forgetting a prop or, you know, having to run across the stage in the blackout or, you know, something like that. That comes with being in a relatively new spot, but
you couldn't tell.
Overall, yeah, it goes back to the thing where, like, if the audience doesn't know, don't tell them.
Yeah,
is basically the rule. But yeah, I think that it was a fantastic opening night.
Good crowd.
Very good crowd, and we got a lot of nice feedback. We got a lot of good reviews. This is, I think, the only exception that I've ever really had to the don't read the reviews rule that I'm usually pretty stringent about. And it is only because somebody from our group did post the reviews. And say, like, hey, look, our reviews are coming up very well. They are very nice reviews. They're very, very kind and very excellent. We got one from someone who was like, well, I didn't really get it. I kind of fell asleep in the middle. Okay.
What do you want to bet that was a white guy?
And it was still 3 out of 5. So, you know, all right, we'll take it. But it felt really, really solid. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, performance 2 out of 5 felt less solid for me, at least. And I think part of that was that I fucked up beforehand. Just a cascading series of fuck ups. So I had made the choice, and it is a choice, to go and help with setup at the fencing booth, which for our booth involves a lot of hay bales.
So much. I see where this is going already.
Being very practiced at throwing hay bales, I threw hay bales.
Mm-hmm.
And then helped to move a 16-foot post out of the ground, where it had been put into quite a lot of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of that going on. And then I did a little, you know, moving of some storage stuff and some vacuuming. Great. Was feeling pretty good. I was getting all set for the 5 p.m. show. Got back nice and early. Got back at like 1:30. Was feeling pretty good about it. Took a nice long shower to help soothe muscles. Set an alarm for 3. Went to sleep.
So, you foolish man.
Right. So, This is where the series of events begins. Mm-hmm. So
despite
the thing about that alarm, I found out at 3:09 p.m. The thing about that alarm is that it only goes off on Mondays. I should have set a new alarm instead of looking for the one that says 3 and flipping the switch on it without carefully reading to make sure that it wasn't, you know, for 1 out of the 7 days of the week.
Right.
Mistake number one. But I woke up at 3:09, so 10 minutes after the alarm.
Okay, so could have been worse.
That's not the worst. Double-checked how much time, because I was a little panicked, double-checked how much time, and looked at the calendar, and it turns out that I had misread when the show went.
Oh, no.
The show, the curtain opens at 4. So,
oh, no.
So I'm now 9 minutes late for call. But I leap headfirst, Scrooge McDuck-like, into a laundry hamper and come out wearing the clothing that I need.
Mm-hmm.
Jump directly out a window, functionally, into my car. You know, as Zorro might jump onto a horse waiting below, and then began racing to the theater, which is a whole city away.
Mm-hmm.
And got a call from the from the stage manager saying, were you
planning on being here?
Going to be here? Yeah, that was at about 3:20, mm-hmm. which I feel was a very generous margin of error.
And knowing the stage manager, I'm sure that was very polite.
Mm-hmm. It was exceedingly polite.
Mm-hmm.
I explained that I made a mistake. And that I was, in fact, on my way. It was probably just before then that a car crashed in the Lindale Tunnel, slowing traffic on westbound 94.
Oh, my God.
To an absolute crawl. I arrived at the theater 45 minutes late for call, which means it was now 15 minutes before curtain up.
Yeah.
I needed to set my props and get into costume, which I did with great speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What an absolute, like, what a shit show that was for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then during either before that or during the show, I was stung or bitten by something on the arm, the results of which you can still probably see, as well as partially closing a car door on myself, the results of which you can still probably see.
I mean, they can't because this is an audio podcast, James, but
some things are for you, Salsa.
I wasn't looking.
But I've got welts and bruises all up and down one arm. And I was lucky that I didn't then, you know, like fall down the stairs. I'm going to knock on wood.
You so, fucking better.
We got through the whole show. Again, a couple of like little minor switch ups or like things, but I was on stage when I was supposed to be. I was off stage when I was supposed to be. I had the things I was supposed to have. And we got through the whole show. And yeah. So I was looking for a nice long sleep. But instead, I got to bed around midnight, maybe midnight 15. And my body decided that what it really wanted was to wake up at 5, my usual wake up time, and then to not go back to sleep until 7:30 when my alarm was set for 8.
Mm-hmm.
To then drive for 2 hours up to start an RV and ideally drive back. But that did not happen for a long time. So I did not get to do really anything that I was planning to do on Sunday and ended up home at, I think I got back at like 6 p.m. and just called it a fucking day.
Yeah.
I showered. I slid slug-like into bed. And I believe that I had eaten something, I had showered, and so it was probably like 8 p.m.
Good enough.
Yeah. And then woke up this morning at 4:30, because that's my body's sense of humor. And yeah, we're just on cruise today a little bit. I have no brains at all. And that's gotta be what it is. Maybe I'll get great sleep tonight. Will remains to be seen. Yeah.
Sorry. Y'all go until like 11, 12, like at night. So yeah, you'll get great
sleep.
So I'll be
good and tired. Yeah.
Yep.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Plan is flawless.
Oh how yeah, he works. Little man's going to sleep good tonight.
Can I tell you, he is one of the only people I know that literally can fall asleep within 5 minutes of trying. It's rude. It's rude.
If I am sitting in the chair in front of the TV, so can I. If I am in bed, no.
If you intend... Wait, so you
because
can fall
I'm an old
asleep.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay, is that just the laws of the world, like the physical laws of the world, or
yes.
And like that just coincidentally happens, or is this a magic chair that
no,
like
if when you are a male presenting person who reaches a certain age,
yeah.
You gain the ability to fall asleep in a chair in front of the TV.
A magical coin,
yeah,
is what? Delivered.
Because y'all's life is so hard that you need one win.
By owl.
I wouldn't say this is a win. This is not a win. This is the opposite of that because of all of the TV that I miss because I'm watching TV happy as a clam and suddenly I wake up going, what just happened? This is not a win. This is a major annoyance.
An annoyance? You poor thing!
I mean...
Oh, man.
I wasn't making a big deal about it.
No, I'm just have insomnia and all of the regulation issues, so I am being very facetious tonight. Anyways,
no,
I'm happy for you in your old man ways. I mean, I'm sad
that.
And sorry for you in your old man ways.
Yeah. No, I struggled with insomnia for many years. I understand.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of the stuff that was going on. Yeah, I'm super proud of this show. And it's not even I didn't write it, I didn't direct it.
But you're a part of it, and that's okay to own that.
He added to it.
And I
a little bit
just like everybody really like everybody's doing such great fucking work.
Yeah, no, the audience seems to be enjoying it too. The reviews have been good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my very sweetest bun.
Mm. Aren't I supposed to go last?
Maybe. Salsa, would you like them to go last?
I mean, no. I've got fringe stuff to talk about, so like,
yeah, by all means, you talk. Again, we were going to kind of withhold a bunch of my stuff. If fair. We need to fill some time, I've got other things I can talk
edging,
about.
We're edging the audience.
But yeah, we're going to we're kind of skirting my topic a little bit.
So I saw two fringe shows. I saw Fighting Unicorns, which is James's show, because we want to name the shows that we want to plug. And Casa.
I refer you to the previous conversation about James not being good at things.
Yes.
Oh, it's just little parts of it. It's fine. It's fine. That's what I'm here for. So I saw Fighting Unicorns and it was great. I would say that it is from an audience perspective, and I haven't written my my review yet, and I still know that I still need to. I've been crashing pretty badly with my everything. So today was a can't do anything day. But I will say that it is a an Alice in Wonderland / fairy tale like journey into repressive trauma, and it is very it's this beautiful dance between these very hard hitting, almost spoken word pieces with visual puppetry and shadow puppetry, and like the moving body of the main character, and then a dance between that and this very like, hey, we need to go and get the MacGuffin, which is my lost memories. I don't remember who I am, and like, while that is very like, you can see the elements of it that are very like fairy tale like, and then it gets into those deeper analogies and connections to trauma that I, and it's a full show. It's got it's 2 hours. So it's a beautiful piece and something that you don't get to see in French very often. And because it's in the Phoenix, which is this kind of like off fringe in the same way that it's like off Broadway, they get to make their own rules. And so if you do cash at the Phoenix for any of their shows, it is $15 instead of the $20 or $25. So make sure that you bring cash. Cash is queen. But it's a 2 hour show, and it's a full show, and they have an intermission. Thank God, because you need to get tissues for the second act. I was weeping openly for the entire second act. Not gonna lie, as somebody who has CPTSD, it was beautiful and just a wonderful piece of puppetry, piece of storytelling, piece of fairy tale, piece of theater. And of course, you have the wonderful, you know, I have James, and it was written and performed by Angela Fox. And just a plethora of our other folks. James, I'm sure, can tell us who else is in it.
Yes.
handing it off.
Yeah, they are also listed on the site itself. The director is a name that's going to be very familiar to lots and lots of people, and that is Jason Kruger, who is he has kind of a magical quality to his directing, in that he gets his actors to do all kinds of things, and then like cherry picks these moments that he really likes. Rather than telling all of them what image he has in his head, he starts just having people do whatever they think that they should be doing, and then narrows it down to what actually works, and asks them really good questions about you know, what they think their character is doing, not just as a motivation, but as like, not what is your motivation for this scene, but what is the purpose of being here for this, or, you know, the things like deeper questions about stuff. Really, really good. Angela, as Jack said, is the inimitable Angela Fox, is the lead, as well as the director, the writer and producer, mm-hmm. one of the producers of this show. Across from her, Charles Hubble, who's been in many, many things, plays her companion,
Uni.
Uni the Unicorn, the aptly named Uni,
who is Olaf in a unicorn shape.
Basically, yeah,
it's very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge puppet, absolutely massive puppet.
Yeah.
Speaking of massive puppets, we have a couple of other creatures, and in order to kind of keep them a little bit of a surprise, we've been trying to kind of...
I can go on to the other show that I watch. I just thought that you might want to shout out people.
But yeah, Sarah is the librarian, and a couple of other people. James J. Ruth is the wizard. McKaylee Shaughnessy is in it as the
beautiful,
the cleaning staff, and
the cutest fucking puppet I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't
very,
even.
Very cute.
Oh my god!
Then myself, Amy, Chandra, and Jillian are all world builders. So basically, we're living scenery, and it's super fun. It gives us a lot of opportunities to do subtle things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not at all subtle things, but stage managed by Megan Slauson started the process, and then Quinn Mark is continuing the process now that we're at a certain space. But the all of the puppets and like puppeting advice and everything like that is done by the Phantom Chorus, who have done a huge number of really fabulous shows here in the Twin Cities, including The Alchemist Bargain from, I think, two horror shows ago.
Mm-hmm.
Two horror fests ago.
It's beautiful.
And then, they also did the puppets for Dealing with Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people helped out with that. Somebody that I think is... it may not be her first time doing like backstage, you know, stage ninja stuff, but Elizabeth, it has been a phenomenal help with making sure that we can do super fast scene changes, and that everything is where it's supposed to be. So props sometimes very literally to Elizabeth as well. So, lots and lots and lots of people involved with it.
Yeah.
I did not realize until we had to move it to a different theater how incredibly intensively intricate it is, as far as the number of props, the number of placements and spikes and things, just everything is very, very intricate. The entire show is basically a dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Props on that. And then I saw Casa de Bede Makaska. Casa Bede Makaska. Which I learned that there was a different way to say it than I had been previously saying it. And that is a show that it was written by Duck and Tim Wick. And I believe Greg Parks helped with some of the verbiage too, although I could be wrong. Don't quote me.
Sorry. What's the other way of saying it?
The other way is
Bede Makaska.
Makaska.
Earth has been saying that.
Huh?
Who's been saying that?
A lot of.
Until somebody corrected me, I used to say it that way.
Yeah, I was saying it Bede Makaska.
Oh.
Bede Makaska is how I had been saying it. And before I learned it was Bede Makaska.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry. I was just like, what other way is there to say it?
Bede Makaska is the way that we had been, that a lot of folks have been saying it.
Yeah, that's not right.
You're too late to teach me, but thank you. Yes. So it's Bede Makaska. And so they did it a la Casablanca. And Tim Wick, apparently a lot of people know, so I feel like I can say it, has a paralyzed vocal cord. And seeing as he was one of the people who was playing in this show, one of my people, Aaron, got his debut for all of theater a couple days before Tech. So he got brought on like 2 or 3 days before Tech. They're like, hey, we need somebody. And he was like, hey, right. No, he was the understudy that became the overstudy because they were hoping that Tim could like bounce back for no. No. I heard him say one word when I was there and it was not good. Not that it was like fuck or something, it just I couldn't hear him very well. So I said as opposed to usual when it's like something a la Virgin Sturgeon. No, this was just I couldn't hear it at all. I've just been given permission. Aaron is my partner, so both of my partners are in Fringe, and this is Aaron's debut for any theater at all, which we thought was going to be the Renaissance Festival, because he's also on cast for the Renaissance Festival this year, but Fringe beat him out. Fringe beat the Renaissance Festival out for it.
Phrasing?
Don't worry about it. It's fine. Okay. It's fine.
Probably fine.
It's maybe. So
it's that, probably fine. Yeah.
That is a telling of it's if you've seen any of Tim and Duck's previous work of like family friendly Pulp Fiction, it's kind of a la that of it's the Casablanca, but the instead of the family friendly, you know, veneer, it's the Casablanca. And it happens somewhere in the near-ish future. But it's kind of told through the lens of the ICE invasion in Minneapolis. And so, you know, instead of Nazis, it's ICE.
Well, what's the difference? Well,
right. Yeah. And so, like, they do a great job of that. They have lots of different they have lots of quips, they've got lots of like if you know you know, and like people in Minneapolis will be like and kind of identify some of the events that they're talking about in the quote-unquote past and things like that, but it's a really fun time. We have our two leads in Casablanca, you know, who are always in a transatlantic accent. And then everyone else is, oh, yeah, we're Minnesotan, don't you know, except the ICE agents, which are hilarious. And played by Aaron and the wonderful Merritt. They're both the ICE agents, and I don't want to give too much away about their shtick, but it's very funny. It's very gratifying to see, and it's very well done, I will say. And so highly suggest that you go and see that. That is at the Theater in the Round, happening, I don't know the days and stuff, so you're just going to have to look on the Fringe website. But
we'll share the old link to it.
Yeah, so not only, let me just give a shout out to Eric. Not only is this his first theater performance ever, not only is it like a day or two before Tech, for Fringe, it is also in the Round.
Ooh.
So I'm like, ooh, man, he's like, yeah, doing the exits and the entrances and the real space is really like fascinating, because I went to see the first night of it, and he had never done the entrances and exits in the theater.
Oh,
somebody who has done theater since I was three, okay, whatever, but like, this is his first time, and I was very impressed. It came together very well. It's very worth watching. Definitely go see it. Yeah. So those are the two Fringe shows that I've seen, and those are probably the two Fringe shows I'm going to see. Because I'm broken and tired. That was really good. And now all cast for Fest was yesterday, and I just about died because it was too hot. Not that anybody could see that, because I have this thing called masking. But now I'm trying to... like, desperately do all of the, like, repairs that I should have done last year right after Fest that they always tell you to do that nobody actually does right after Fest. Whoops. I tried to put on my chemise for a Renfest market, and it continued to rip, which I didn't know it had started to rip previously, so I'm fixing that. Also, I have a market on Sunday. It is a Renfest themed market different place. I will have to look that up. But it's a market on Sunday. It's going to be great. And you should come see me. I do tarot readings and Henna and stuff. It's going to be great.
You know how much we love stuff.
What?
You know how much we love stuff.
We love stuff. Stuff and things, even.
Aww.
I'm not big on things. Stuff I like, but not so much on things.
Depends on the thing.
Is it thing one or thing two? But I'm much more keen on stuff.
Okay.
Just be a regionalism.
That salsa, that's called a callback.
I'm aware. I teach comedy.
So do I.
Cool.
I was trying to do Jenna Proud. I guess either she will be or she won't be.
Don't try to do Jenna Proud. You won't succeed.
I've done it before, at least twice.
Yeah, but were you trying or did it just happen?
Shh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough but fair.
All right, Pulsa. What do you got for us that's not like across the pond?
Getting set up for Fest. Stage cleanup and campground cleanup. Did all that stuff. Campground cleanup was pretty easy this year, just because by the time we got out there, a lot of it had already been taken care of.
That's real nice.
Yeah, no, one of our people in our campsite went out there a few days in advance and just took a weed whacker to everything in sight.
Nice.
And cleaned everything up and swept platforms did a lot of that cleanup work. So by when we got out there, it was pretty quick. We were able to set up our tent and get the kitchen set up and everything like that pretty quick, which was wonderful.
Awesome.
Didn't have to do any repairs this year, which also...
Good.
Sped up the process a lot. Couldn't be said for some other people that I know who had some major damage.
For their campground or for their stage?
For their campsite. I know some people who had a tree fall on their platform.
Oh, no.
Completely demolish it. So
you'd think with the money that we pay to camp out there, they would... No? Okay, just kidding.
That only pays for the priv trucks to wake us up at 3 a.m.
Pretty much. pay for all of the site fees and all that other nonsense that the county loves to take from us. Then we did the stage cleanup. Helped Fondazzi get their Vardos set up and got my backstage area set up and everything like that. That also honestly went fairly smooth. I swept out my shack and was done in no time at all. It happened pretty quick. So I was really, nice. Really happy with the condition of everything this year. Didn't have to do a lot of major repairs on anything, really. So, yeah, unfortunately, that leaves my story there.
That's not unfortunate. Can I tell you how lovely that is? That's the beginning and end of your, like, trying to get ready for the Renaissance Festival?
Sure, but it means I don't have much of a story to tell. And then went to Allcast, where I also sat and listened for an hour and a half to things that didn't matter to me. So there was like four things. There was like four things that mattered, and then there was a whole lot of time spent waiting for people to ask questions that didn't need to be asked. It's like, oh, okay, let's explain this one more time to the slow people in the back who weren't paying attention, apparently, because we covered this three times already. And yes, your edge niche case that applies to two people, ask them later. This does not apply to anyone else. This doesn't need to be in this meeting. You can ask them privately later.
There were a couple that had to do with medical stuff that I was like, I'm glad they said that, because a lot of
and don't get me wrong, there are absolutely things that need to be said and need, but like 90% of the questions that get asked in those meetings
of the
are like,
other
this
ones,
is,
yeah,
this is not relevant in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
We used to have a guy out there, and he doesn't work out there anymore, thankfully. But like every day at cast call, like they would get to, he would like raise his hand and ask a question that didn't even pertain to him. But he was just like, this is information that other people might want.
Is this where the, and one more thing, no, came from?
I mean, that came from everybody. Asking questions, but there was one. But usually, people ask a specific question that deals with their specific situation,
right,
which is like cool. If that's yours, to know about that one thing, but it only pertains to one person, you can just ask that one specific question, that kind of fringe case question that pertains to you. You can ask that question after
the season
and clarify that for you. But he would specifically ask questions that did not apply to him, because he thought that it might be something that other people might want to know. Never once considering that maybe if those other people wanted to know, they could fucking ask themselves. No. He was going to be the hero, and he was going to ask those questions on behalf of the people who might need that information. It was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, that whole meeting could have been a third
an
as long.
Email?
if we had just gotten through it. But, and here's the other thing that, and I know that festival is full of performers. I know that. That's literally why we're there.
And
stop fucking performing for each other. Fucking stop. Fucking stop that shit. When you're performing and you're out and the audience is there, do your shit. But when we're trying to have a fucking meeting, I don't want to be here for 25 goddamn minutes longer than this needed to be because you think that everybody needs to laugh at your ass. Fucking stop. Put your comedy dick back in your pants. Shut the fuck up. Let them get through this meeting so I can go home. I fucking hate that. I really
One
fucking
of the
hate
very it. Rare times that I have ever threatened somebody.
I hate it. I hate it so much when like I'm walking through the campground in the morning on my way. Like I just woke up. I'm getting ready for my day and people are in the campground cracking fucking bits at each other and at me. And it's like, fuck you. Fuck off.
I haven't had my coffee.
I am not the customer. Stop fucking performing at me and let me just fucking get my coffee. Fuck off. That's a me thing. But anyway.
That's a hot take. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was laughter at a specific point in that I was a part of that. I don't know if anybody else understands why there was laughter about it, but it's they're having a fighty sword thing happening more at the festival that I happen to have inside knowledge about, having been a part of them before, and don't necessarily agree with them anymore, unfortunately. And I know that there's going to be an uptick in small children with fuck-ass giant swords. So if you're talking about me, I'm so sorry. I'm
talking about nobody in specific.
That's fair.
If it sounded like I was talking about you, I probably was. But yeah, if it sounded like fair. I wasn't talking about you, then I wasn't.
Then you probably weren't. So. Good thing I wasn't listening to you, so it's probably not about me.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things, like, are you talking about me? Well, I mean...
Probably.
Did what I say apply to what you were doing? And if the answer is yes, then probably. I can't think of anything.
Sosa's never been shy about naming me when I'm fucking up.
No, I can't think of any specific time when you personally were like the subject of my ire. It was just kind of general malaise.
No, that's fair. they were just saying it in a very excited way, and I'm like,
I am genuine. I am not sure what you are referring to right now.
AIC.
What do you see?
Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we had that
meeting, and then I went home, and then I had a lovely dinner with some friends, in Wonderful. Which we drank a whole lot of booze from another country. That
sounds lovely.
Had obtained. It very much was. We had a
perhaps
lovely
illicitly
dinner.
Or perhaps licitly.
Quite licitly. Haven't had a lovely time having a dinner party with my sister-in-law and a few friends, and just in general having a lovely time. So
yeah.
Delightful, darling. Delightful indeed.
Shall we take a break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure.
Excellent. We will take a break and we will be right back.
ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Anyway, but that's not what we're doing here. We're here to podcast, and we should probably do that instead.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Must we? Must we really?
I mean, we don't must. We don't fucking have to do anything, but we're here, so we might as well.
Pay taxes and die. Yeah.
Might as well. So we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jax.
All right. And it's time for some random facts that we're going to talk. And I close this window because I'm so smart. Here it is. All right. Random facts. You are all familiar of a tiny little country called Liechtenstein.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, is that now how it's pronounced?
How were you pronouncing it?
I thought it was Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein, Liechtenstein, depends on who you ask.
Okay. If they're a necromancer or not.
More if they're German speaking or not. I suppose a lot of necromancers probably speak German. So,
sort of.
Anyway, our story goes back to the Austro-Prussian War of 1866. Again, Liechtenstein is a tiny little country. Doesn't have a whole lot going for it.
Living space.
So they sent a military force of 80 soldiers to go fight against the Prussians. Right? They're not going to do a lot, but they're doing their part. Right?
Yeah.
So these 80 soldiers, they go off to the Brenner Pass between Austria and Italy, and they spend their time during the war hanging out. They didn't see any combat. They didn't have to do anything for a little over a month. It's just, they just had to kind of keep an eye out for any Italians who were helping the Prussians. And they spent most of their time just smoking cigarettes and drinking wine and hanging out.
Better a pig than a fascist.
I don't know if they had cigarettes back then, or, you know, smoking pipes or whatever. But anyway, yeah, they just kind of hung out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the actual battle is happening elsewhere, and Prussia wins, and the conflict is ended. Austria loses, Prussia wins. But there, these 80 people from Liechtenstein, they lost, but time to go home, and they head on back home, and they did not have, unfortunately. They did no longer have 80 soldiers on their way back. They had 81.
There are 10 different ways that this could go.
Yeah. The person who joined them, their identity has become a bit of one of those like tales that has you know, kind of lost the truth to time. You know, some people say that it was an Austrian who joined up with them. Some say it was an Italian, defector that had joined them. Don't really know. The actual number itself is also in a little bit of question. Some people say that there was actually only like 50 some soldiers, but what is generally agreed on is that they left and they came back with one more than they left with. Somebody just kind of hung out with them, and when they went home, went with them.
Great.
So yeah, that's one of those weird stories from history is the army from Liechtenstein that left it with 80 soldiers and came back with 81.
As soon as they left with 80 soldiers, because I've only ever heard about this in memes. Where they were like, they left with 80 soldiers and came back with 81, which means they made a friend.
Yeah, basically. Again, more than likely just like an officer or from the Austrian army or something that hung out with them. It was just like, yeah, I'll hang out with you guys a bit. That's the tale.
Again,
who exactly this person was is sometimes they say it's an Austrian officer. Some people say it was an Italian defector. Some people say it was, you know, just some random like wandering merchant or something like that, who was just like, you're going my way, I'll hang out with you and we'll be
safe.
Are you
going my way?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's one of those that like the legend has grown so big that it's hard to fully this is the truth of the matter. But that's one of those weird stories from history.
I love it so much.
All right. I have also pulled out a random topic generator, and I'm going to throw this out at you.
Oh,
all right.
Don't hit me.
I am going to go in two different extremes here. Okay. What is the best thing to do on a cold winter day?
Ooh.
And conversely, what is the most refreshing thing to do on a hot summer day?
Oh.
So both ends of the you know,
like this.
What are you going to do? What's the best way to spend a cold winter day? What's the best way to spend a hot summer day?
Oh. I would say best thing to do on a cold winter day. Now this isn't one of those fast five things where like we're trying to find the catch where like if it's
This is a random topic.
This is a fun topic, not like you're stuck in the middle of Arctic. Okay.
We're spitballing here.
Just fun. I would love to be in front of a roaring fire with a good knitting project that I am just on the cusp of finishing, and with some hot chocolate with some friends, and specifically friends who are okay with not just idly chattering, just listening to the fire and body doubling in the truest form of body doubling, not actually talking. Specifically,
just everybody just chilling with their own thoughts, huh?
Uh-huh.
Love it. I would say that I like where you're going with it. For me, it would be a book instead of knitting. And I would have a little bit of boozy something something in that cocoa. Would be alone. I appreciate the, you know, bunch of people all just, you know, being quiet and just being present with each other. But I personally am like, no, just go
just
away.
Just by myself.
Let me just read my book with this fire in peace.
It's also, that's so unlike you.
I know, right?
Is it snowing outside, too? Stop.
I mean, I don't care. Yeah, I'm inside by a fire.
That's fair. I love how mesmerizing snow is, though.
Oh, I love snow.
So, sorry, my linguine has been demanding to be let out, so I'm readjusting my camera that like none of the audience can hear.
Personal problem?
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Yeah.
James?
So, on a snowy day, I think being in a cabin in particular, and knowing that you have a hot meal cooking over a fire, over a roaring fire, and being able to smell like the stew or the soup, and having Jack's introduced this to me. There's a place locally. Was it the Metronome that has
the homie gnome?
Poker beer. Homie gnome is our veterinarian.
Sorry. The gnome. It's something gnome. Just be the gnome. It's not the Metronome.
Might be just the gnome. Yeah.
It might be the gnome.
But they take. They take like a super stout beer.
You're talking about the Happy Gnome?
Might be the Happy Gnome.
Is it in St. Paul? Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they put a red hot poker into it.
Yeah.
And it caramelizes all the sugars.
Yep.
And that's fucking exquisite.
Yep. I'm commissioning my brother-in-law to make me one of those, actually.
Amazing. Can you do it with cider? Because yes, please.
Yes, as long as it has. It's usually done with malty beer because it needs a high sugar content.
But that has wheat in it.
Oh, okay, use a gluten-free beer.
I don't
know what to tell you.
Do those exist?
Gluten-free beers?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I suppose. Gluten-free stouts and porters exist? Those I haven't found.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that
Burning Brothers
is closed, more difficult, but they had some fantastic stouts.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
They did.
And now they're gone?
Yes. Yeah. Sadly. Bullshit. It is.
Continue.
But reading a book or playing a game, solving a puzzle, just like doing something more mentally invigorating and settling in for like a rich drink. And being able to smell dinner slowly, like accumulating deliciousness as it cooks over the fire, sounds just perfect. And I think I would want a couple of people there, not a lot, but especially just I would like to be able to hear the snow falling.
Yes. I think I would like to be at Cottage on Fast Grounds on a day that it was snowing. With the fire roaring and being able to see the snow on a day that it's like about 29 to 30 degrees, where it's enough that like the fire could actually heat you, and like maybe a blanket or two would be enough for you to be cozy, but you still have like the cold, like you're somewhat close enough to the cold that you can feel the bite on your nose, but close enough to the fire in that, like, that's the. It would just be so lovely.
When we dissolve into just sound effects, noises. You can tell that it's a good thing.
Yep.
All right. Yep. So
ideal.
Opposite end of the spectrum. Hot summer day.
Inside.
Air conditioning.
I melt at about 80 degrees Fahrenheit, so I can't even go out to fest once it hits 80 because my autonomic nervous system stops working. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they lose the ability to cool themselves down
inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I start getting crabby at 70. So yeah, being in Scotland in the summer where the highs were like upper 60s.
Not
too shabby. Yeah. It was great.
I would give up internet for that. I need you to know.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fantastic.
I technically couldn't because of my CGM, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. That's fair.
But also, that sounds amazing.
It was pretty great.
Good for every other part of my body besides the external pancreas. All right, James, what about you?
An ice cold movie theater showing old movies. Like stuff that's royalty free now. I remember when I was a young warthog, my father took me to a movie marathon at the Heights that was something like 62 hours, 65 hours of movies. It was just incredible. Especially because being born in the early 1980s, I had not had the opportunity to see a lot of those movies on the big screen. And so this was my chance to see Blazing Saddles. This was my chance to see Top Gun. This was my chance to see a lot of that stuff. 2001, all on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
That was also how I lost my Rocky virginity as well.
With your what?
Yeah, they were playing Rocky Horror Picture Show immediately after a bunch of other stuff. So it was in a theater with one of my parents, which is not ideal.
No.
But
losing your virginity in the same theater as your parents is not ideal in any way, shape, or form.
For almost all of your virgin.
More specifically, at the same time is that they're there.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's the same theater that they've been in, that's bad enough. But if they're there at the same time...
Yeah. Ooh. Well, we don't always get to choose. So...
And how does that make you feel?
One hopes that when one loses one's virginity, that they choose.
One does hope.
That one certainly does.
I had a marvelous time. It was a great use of air conditioning. And I had an absolute blast. I would do that again in a heartbeat. The last time that I was at the Heights talking to someone about that, because they were like, yeah, well, he's the one who obtains all the original film prints and that kind of stuff. And I was like, hey, do you think you'd ever do one of those long marathons again? He was like, fuck no. You do it.
Yep.
It's like asking somebody if they would do Die Laughing again.
Yes.
No. You can be in charge of it. I could just
I didn't say I want to be in charge of it, but yeah, I would do it again.
I would. Yeah.
I would participate. But
yeah. And the whole thing had been paid for by Act Two Popcorn. Who were using it as an opportunity to to promote their popcorn because they were also it was a world record attempt.
Oh, interesting.
because some people were going to stay there and stay awake for the entire movie marathon.
Gotcha.
Which is crazy because, like Salsa said, you're in a seat. You're sitting down. Fuck. Oh.
I mean, in a situation like that, I'm sure they could get up and pace the aisles and nobody
would go to the bathroom. So,
yeah. Well, and they had people there to since there were several of them, they could kind of coach each other.
Sure. But I mean, like, normally, like you said, you'd be sitting in a seat for a movie, and this, I think you could, nobody would be like, I'm going to stand up and watch for a few minutes. Like, nobody would be like, sit down. It's like, okay.
No, surely not.
I'm just going to stand over here and watch for a while.
Yeah.
No, I see where you're coming from with that. The problem with that for me is that I have been poor enough to be in a place that didn't have air conditioning, and the only place to get cool in the summer was to go to the movie theater. And so I kind of, that was more a survival tactic than a, like, this is a thing I want to do. And like, my ideal summer day does not involve watching a movie.
What does it involve?
Like, it involves a mild summer day, out on the water. In a boat.
Okay.
Preferably in a boat.
What kind?
A wooden sailing kind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that does answer the question and is the information I was looking for. So, yes. Yep. Thank you. Yeah.
If we're talking mild summer day, like that I could actually be outside for, I would say that changes things and that becomes a little trickier. I think being outside, a boat could be interesting. I oftentimes feel the social, like, you know how I said people, like, with people who know how to shut the fuck up in the winter and actually body double. I find that on boats, it's very dependent on the people of your that you're with, of whether you border the line between bored, awkwardly tense, or trying to make sure that there's conversation. And so I think a boat sounds nice if it was with like one or two other people that I'm super close to. But honestly, just being in a field of long grass with flowers all around that I could paint. I think having like my watercolors with me so that I could paint just flowers and bugs and trees, I think that would be lovely personally.
I complete side tangent, but I was looking at various places and like I was Googling like the average summertime temperatures of like Scotland and the average winter time temperatures of, you know, Scotland and Ireland and places like that. And I decided to Google the average summertime temperatures of Minnesota. And it said average summertime temperatures of Minnesota is like 86.
Yeah, you like averaged over the last 100 years?
Yeah, I don't know what their sample size was, but I was looking at that like, why can't that be still a thing? Because like, if average temperatures of the like that was I was looking at that like I haven't had a summer that averaged the 80s in
a decade. Yeah,
And yeah. And like summers have just become so fucking brutal.
Part of the reason why I wanted to get a house so badly up here is because this is going to be a global climate change refugee area.
I want to go further north.
If you like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's, I try not to complain because I lived in Virginia for the first 18 years of my life. You know, we had 107.
I'm so sorry.
It was Northern Virginia. So it wasn't like hillbilly area or anything. And even if it were like, whatever, but
you're from South Dakota, sir.
It wasn't West Virginia.
Yeah. And I also got the fuck out of there. I can sympathize.
Right. And so like we were a suburb of DC. So y'all think you have traffic and I laugh at you. But like we had hotter weather. So we had like 107, 109, you know, whatever, but it wasn't humid as much, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And even when it was, I wasn't like, I was either inside and broken and had medical shit, or I was a child that was made of rubber and didn't give a shit about temperature. So like, so I try not to complain about the weather too much, but like if it's hot and I can't function, then I can't function. And that's sucks.
Fair.
So I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
James, did you say your summer? Sorry.
Yeah, movies.
Okay, that's right. Movie. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Short-term memory's fried.
I am 3 memory disorders and a trench coat. So
cool. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
Shout-out for Pacopia. It's a fuck-ass Ditto simulator, and I love it so goddamn much. They just dropped their DLC. And James had the brilliant, like, noticing of it, that however Ditto thinks that things should work, they work that way. And it's the most goblin, like, take on this video game ever, and it's true, and I love it. I love my fuck ass Ditto simulator. So shout out to Pacopia.
Yeah.
What is a Ditto simulator?
Okay, so in Pokemon, in Pokemon, there is a Pokemon called Ditto, and it's this little squidge of purple goo. And the whole idea is that it can copy whatever it sees, right? So it can copy whatever Pokemon you have and then copy its.
So a Ditto is a type of Pokemon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And gotcha. It dittos whatever it sees. So it dittos a different Pokemon. Ideally, but in the TV show of Pokemon, the anime, the Ditto that we got to see had this little fuck ass, like, no brains expression. It had 2 dots and like a little squidgy smile. And whatever Pokemon it turned into, it always had the 2 dots and a little stupid ass squidgy smile. So you'd have this like Articuno or like Charizard with a dumbass 2 eyes and squidgy smile, right?
Yeah.
And so in Pokopia, you still have the dumbass eyes and the squidgy smile, and your Ditto is pretending to, and like transforms into what they remember their human looked like. And so that's your avatar. But you're a Ditto, so you can copy other Pokemon's, like, Water Gun or Cut or Fly or Drift or whatever, but like not quite. like your Water Gun is a little spurt of water instead of an actual water spout. Your Fly is more of a glide with style, you know, falling with style. Your and so now I say that my autonomic nervous system is a Ditto. It's trying real hard, but it's doesn't quite get it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 100% honest. I only got about 2/3 of that. So
that's okay.
I'm glad you are having a good time with it.
I'll bring my Switch to Fest, and I will show you, and it shall be delightful.
Oh no, I think you misunderstand my level of interest. No,
Salsa, it would be my pleasure. No, I
feel like you absolutely misunderstand my level of interest.
Fine, don't worry about it. Oh yeah, I'll make sure that we have a grand time together, Salsa.
Please don't, James.
This is his least favorite many things. So my shout out is going to be to the Social Butterfly Project and to the Phoenix for hosting us. Just like what a wonderful thing. What a tremendous idea. I love participating in this. So, yeah. That.
All right. I'm going to give my shout out to Scottish weather. Yeah, it gets down to like 30 in the winter and up to like 68 in the summer. And it rains a lot. And when it does rain, it's beautiful. So like, and then it's 15 minutes later, it's not raining anymore. And I loved every fucking minute of it. And
if you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes and it might change.
I want to go back there and live there forever.
Yeah. Only if you bring us with you.
God, no. No, then I'd have to come here to get away from you.
Oh, no.
The weather here is terrible. We were just discussing this.
Yeah. Which is
sounds like a personal problem.
I want to get away from people. I don't like people. I don't know how I can make this any clearer.
Can I plug something real quick?
Not yet.
Okay.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
You know, in fact, I do.
Oh, well, what do you know? Now would be a great time to do that.
Thank you. On Thursday, August 13th, we are doing in Minprov, my neurodivergent on purpose improv troupe is doing a fundraiser. It's called the Summer Fundraiser. It's going to be at the Elysian Playhouse in Crystal. It starts at 6:30. And it's just a really good cause. We are, again, disability and neurodivergent on purpose. It's the only one of the, it is the only consistent place I've been able to do theater. Where I can do it with a wheelchair. There is at least 50% of our cast who have some sort of physical, disability as well as being neurodivergent that we make space for, you know, we make space for our own, and it's really important to me and important to a lot of people. It also funds Minprov also funds like adult improv mixers as well as like we had teen summer camps and things like that, and we're grant funded. Please help. So we're going to be having our fundraiser. So please come to that. Again, that's on Thursday, August 13th at 6:30 p.m. at the Elysian Playhouse. There'll be improv. There'll be games. There'll be probably ice cream. I don't know. It'll be really great. Yep. Traditionally, technically.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what I got to plug.
Cool. James?
Wonderful. Coming up Friday. Sunday. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go first, and then I'll do my other one. Go ahead.
Okay. Coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It is Fighting Unicorns as part of the Fringe Festival, as being Fringe adjacent. Come see it. We worked real hard on it. And it's a good show, and we love it. So please come see it. Yes, you who are listening. Yes, you're the one I'm talking to.
Okay. Also, on Sunday at the Forge in Chaska, there's going to be a Renfest market. August 16th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm going to be doing tarot and henna, and I'm going to have my prints as well as little snaky shed jewelry and things like that. So if you want to come and get your tarot read, where I'm doing jewelry with tarot and things like that, please come along. Come and say hi. First person to bring me caffeine gets a free reading, as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Salsa?
Coming up is, surprise, Minnesota Renaissance Festival! You can find Casimir at Sherwood Stage at 11, 12:30, 1:30, and 4 every single day.
Zang.
Yep.
Do you have any other shows that you are part of out there?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Am I forgetting something?
No.
Okay.
You could come to Clover Cottage and see Armune the Story Weaver any day that it's below 80.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just the way you ask it, it sounded like you were leading me somewhere.
No, it did. It did totally sound like you were leading him into something, honey.
I know that there was last year, and I didn't know if there was this year.
Last year was the show that you were in. That's not there anymore.
Okay.
Oh, is it not there anymore?
Because you couldn't be in it.
Oh
shit! Did
That's not the only reason. It's not the only reason it's not there anymore. It was because James and like four other people weren't in it.
Out of the five people who put it on.
Like basically there was like two people left.
Yeah.
Those yeah, that show is no more.
Oh. Okay.
I am sorry to hear it.
One less thing for me to worry about.
Shows come and go.
Yeah, indeed. Mine still here though, so you should go see that one. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye bye, love you, bye bye bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this show. Thank you to our special guest Jax for stepping in and being a part of this nonsense. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Who are you, child, motherfucker?